From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again to Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we invite your attention to an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, part of a series in which Dr. Cairns answers various questions that are frequently raised by Christians and by the unsaved. Dr. Cairns is the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and his long experience in the pastoral and teaching ministry will help to provide insights into various areas of concern for both believers and unbelievers in this day. A DVD containing all of these interviews is available at no charge from Let the Bible Speak. Ordering information will be given at the close of this broadcast. Now here is Dr. Cairns to answer the question, what's wrong with same-sex marriage?
What's wrong with same-sex marriage? Very, very simply answered. Let's cut to the chase here. Marriage. What does the Bible say about marriage? What does God say about marriage? He says marriage is honorable. Okay? Let's start there. Marriage is honorable. What does he say about homosexuality? He says it's an abomination. He says the homosexual, practicing homosexuality, cannot enter God's kingdom. He says he's under the wrath and the curse of God. Now, sinners, not only homosexuals, sinners living in their sin are under the wrath and curse of God. But even sinners may be married, and marriage in itself is an honorable estate. But while God says it's honorable, he says the bed in marriage is undefiled. In homosexuality, he says it is accursed, it is abominable, and it is damning. So by God's definition of marriage, and after all, he's the one who instituted marriage, by God's definition of marriage, same-sex marriage is a contradiction in terms. Marriage is honorable. Same-sex sexual relations are accursed of God. Period.
Praise my all.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Today, our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We're featuring messages from a series he preached from Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Today, he commences the next message in the series, which is called Characteristics of Christian Leadership, Boldness. Now, here is the Reverend Armin Tomassian.
We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 1 and read through the opening 12 verses together. Let's follow in the Word of God, precious Word of God. Let's hear it with profit by the help of the Spirit. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. For laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. Amen. How important are leaders? If you walk into the average bookstore today, you will see all the evidence you need that leaders are in high demand. There are shelves that constantly are trying to show new tips or various ways to be a leader or a better leader. Leadership is in high demand, and the qualities of leadership are very important in our day, and they always have been. As we come to this chapter and progress in our study in this letter, we will not only learn of Christian virtues, but especially in the opening 12 verses, we will see certain virtues that are necessary for the leader, for the Christian leader in the work of God. As the Apostle Paul continues to deal with a theme that he touched on earlier, if you go back to verse 5, he says there, as ye know at the end, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, he picks up that theme again. He starts to talk about the manner of men that they were among those that were in this particular city, the kind of leaders that they were, he and his companions, Silas and Timothy. And he develops the thought, and we're going to see it here as we progress through these verses, especially when we get to verse 3, where he begins to take on a certain kind of argumentation, we might say, concerning the kind of men that they were. Leadership, therefore, is something that is very, very important and very helpful. Most men are called to lead in some capacity. Called to lead their wives and their children, are called to lead in places of employment as employers, as those who are supervisors of others, or even in the Church of God at large, that we are called to be leaders. Women too have a certain leadership quality, certainly in the home with children and even beyond, but particularly men, there is this need to know what God requires of Christian leaders. And as it was in the days when Paul was living, I think, and as the day we're living, there's always a lack of the number of leaders and a lack even in the depth and quality of leaders. And certainly I feel it and know it in my own heart. And yet the Word of God gives us much instruction. Leadership is not for the faint of heart. It takes courage and wisdom and gentleness and many qualities that are, well, just not as common as you might desire. And perhaps sometimes qualities that we don't even see as qualities, even when we get on later and we see the kind of the gentle, you can see verse 7, we were gentle among you. That's perhaps not always seen as a quality of leadership, but it is, and certainly was in the ministry of the apostle and his companions. A vital aspect of the work of God is leadership. There's no getting around it. There's no avoiding it. In fact, if you turn to Titus very quickly, just flip over forward a little bit in your Bible, and you come to the pastoral epistle of Titus after 2 Timothy, you'll see Paul, in a certain way, showing the importance of leadership within the church. In verse 5, Titus chapter 1, verse 5, he writes to Titus saying, after he's gone through the preface of an introduction and so on, as he normally would in his letters, he says in verse 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. And then he goes through the characteristics and the certain aspects that need to be looked for in any leader, if any be blameless, a husband of one wife, and so on. But if you stand back and you see what Paul is doing here as he writes to Titus, he is saying, first and foremost, there were things that are necessary in the church, and I left you in Crete to do that. And if you observe carefully what is being said, essentially, Paul is saying to Titus, Titus, I left you in Crete to do a job, and you haven't done it. You still haven't done it. If you read it carefully at the end, as I had appointed thee, I left you in Crete to set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Therefore, the motive of Paul in writing to Titus is basically to say, Titus, why haven't you done what I told you to do? Which gives us at least some instruction. First, that even good leaders, those that were leaders and had been mentored by the Apostle Paul, find certain aspect of leadership difficult to execute. Titus was not able to execute what Paul had advised him to do, at least not as quickly as Paul wanted him to do it. And so he is writing really in a certain sense to exhort him to do something he had failed to do. There's a little subtle chastening in the language. I told you, I left you there, I appointed you to do this, and you haven't done it yet. And the things that he had called him to do, well, to set in order the things that are wanting, to help structure the church, things that were left undone, and ordain elders. That is absolutely crucial, Titus, that you ordain elders. The church needs leaders. It cannot function without leaders. It must have leaders, elders, bishops, pastors, those God has set apart within a local congregation to help the rest of the flock in their progress in faith. You have to do this. For Paul, this was almost priority number one. As far as the church functioning, it was absolutely essential that each church had its spiritual leaders. And when you follow even in the book of Acts, you will see this. As he goes through his first missionary journey and he makes his way back, tracing back the places that they had visited, he goes there to ordain elders to see who's spiritually progressing and can be entrusted with the need to care for the flock of God. It was absolutely crucial for the survival and the growth of the work. Churches cannot function biblically properly in the way God has appointed, except there be elders in place. That is not to say that every man who will become an elder is perfect. He is not. You can see Titus wasn't perfect. He hadn't done what he was asked to do, and like any leader, sometimes we fail to do what we are meant to do. But there are qualities and there are certain characteristics that God requires, and when you see them, You bring those individuals, you appoint those individuals, you encourage those individuals in taking that step to say, I will help in the work of God here. It's no light matter. It's not for the faint of heart. And yet, no one has any real burden for the work of God if they do not first see the need of this and then pray for those that God has appointed to this work. To not desire the spiritual profit of elders is to not desire the spiritual profit of your own soul. God has given them. It's like basically saying, it's like a child wishing for the downfall of their own father while they're under their care. It's going to directly impact the child. The child should desire the prosperity of his father, should long for his growth, his advancement. Often as children, they don't really have the capacity to see how vital that is, certainly in the early years. But you can see it as an adult looking back that any child who bites the hand that feeds it is not helping itself. And so it is in the church. If there's to be a desire for my own profit, then I have to see the profit and prosperity in those that God has seen fit to put over my soul. Leadership then is utterly essential. And as I say, this chapter is going to be really helpful for us as we pay attention in seeing those kind of characteristics that are necessary. And as we begin to look at this chapter in the weeks that will follow as well, I just want to say from the outset, there are two ways of looking, especially from verse 3 down to verse 12, two ways of looking at what Paul is doing here. On the one hand, some see Paul as giving a self-description in light of the philosophical hucksters of the day. So he's saying, our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. So when he's saying, we're not like those philosophers that come through your city and try to basically deceive you. We're not like them. So in that way, it would be a self-description of themselves. But the other way of understanding Paul's language here is not a self-description, but a self-defense against personal attacks that were coming against him, trying to discredit his ministry. So he's either distinguishing himself from others or defending himself against others. And I'm not dogmatic. It seems to me, from my gleanings in preparation this week, is that the latter seems to be the strongest opinion, that Paul really is getting feedback that there's a little bit of influence either from outside the church amongst the Jews, or even perhaps internally in the church, voices rising up beginning to question the character of the Apostle Paul and his companions that came through Thessalonica to bring the gospel. And so, whatever the case, whether he's giving a self-description or a self-defense, it's really instructive to see what Paul says, what their manner was, what their character was as they came in before this city and before this people. You see, the devil knows, and certainly if this is the latter, if it's a matter there's been attack against Paul and his character, the devil knows that if you discredit the character of the preacher, then you can suck the power out of his ministry. Because all that he said and all that he sought to do, then you come and you undermine the character, and people just say, well, it was all with the wrong motive. And people begin to feed off this desire that there's a wrong motive, there's an underlying pretense there, and because of that, whatever he said can just be discredited, can just be forgotten about. So Paul, if that is indeed his motive, to give a self-defense, is writing in such a fashion so as to preserve the gospel that had been received. Because all that he had taught, all that he had sought to present before the people, if they just say, well, he was a bad character, a bad apple, then all the message he sought to present just falls away. There's no foundation. Isn't it amazing how, as we live in this world, there's a certain sense, and I say this advisedly and carefully, that truth is on a foundation of the character that presents it. That if you've already discredited the person, it doesn't really matter what they say. It happens in court all the time. It doesn't matter that he's a witness. We know other things in the past that would discredit the testimony of this individual.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.